This week's video message was recorded at the church building on July 12, 2020. This video will be a bit different from previous weeks. I encourage you to have a Bible handy if you'd like to read along. The book, chapter, and verse will be shown, but not the full text. Thank you to Dave, Don, and Earl for sharing this week. The message is titled, Together Again, and the scripture reading is 1 Corinthians 12, 12-27. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But, in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it.
Well, we'd like to begin. We are grateful for your presence, this restart of our meeting together. I'd like to bring a brief reading from Psalms 4, the last half of that psalm, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Psalms 4, verse 5 to the end. Offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. Many are asking, who can show us any good? Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. You have filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abound. I will lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Father, we come before you to praise and to worship you. You are God. We are grateful for your care and provision for us. Our prayers continue for those in failing health that we've listed and mentioned in our announcements. We pray for comfort and for your peace to be with those who are mourning and in grieving. Father, we add to the list Don and Helen, and there may be others, Father, in our hearts that we recognize the needs, and we ask that you would empower us to recognize through your Spirit, amid the challenges that we face, help us to see your presence. Thank you for the grace and mercy in Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Just give me 1 second, we're starting here. So grateful that you're with us today. It took some courage to be here, but we've been praying for everyone, for their health and for their safety, and we're delighted that you are with us today. Unique to Scripture, is the theme of unity. And there are a couple of huge passages that deal with this, 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4. And significant is the beginning of a call to unity from different cultures, Jew and Gentile, coming together as one. In Acts chapter 15, there is this amazing event that takes place called the Council at Jerusalem. And it wasn't a real relaxed, easy discussion. It was a discussion of Jew and Gentile being asked the question, do we really want to come together? Do we really want to be united in Christ, even with two different cultures? And now for those of us who are married, it's unique in the sense of creating a new culture. A woman is raised in a certain way, man is raised in a certain way, she has a family, he has a family, and you come together as one, and now the hard work begins in trying to create a new culture, one that we agree upon, one that we can move forth in. So what I want to do today, very briefly, is just take a look at some of these unique scriptures that talk about Christians coming together as one. I need for you to use your imagination with me today. After the death of Jesus, there was this blackness, this darkness that set on the disciples. He actually died. Even though Jesus said many times, here's what's going to happen to me. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be abused. I'm going to be killed. But I will rise again on the third day. It was too bewildering for them to grasp all of this. And then, of course, on the third day, Jesus was raised. And in the book of Matthew, we have this very familiar scripture where Jesus says, all authority under heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. All nations, all cultures, go and preach to them. And for us, especially in Canada, very multicultural, for us, that just seems easy. For Jewish Christians, and for some Gentile Christians, that wasn't easy. The marrying together, spiritually, physically, of two cultures. How we view life, how we view God, how we do church. And this is a good example of that today, in something that is truly unique, at least in our lifetime. But to me, what I missed for years was how incredible it was how Christians gathered together. They just wanted to be together. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus is being raised and going up into heaven, and an angel says to the disciples, why stand ye gazing, is the King James Version. This same Jesus, who you see going up into heaven, will one day return. And they are reminded of this great call of Jesus. Until that time happens, go into all the world and share this message. And it sounded good until the Jew and Gentile cultures got involved. And it was not an easy thing. So one of the things that they did was, and I thought it was so brilliant, is they joined together. They just came together. They spent time together. If you'll permit me, I'd like to read to you some scriptures that probably some of you know very well. In Acts chapter 1, after Jesus is taken up into heaven, all the Christians gathered together. Verse 6 says, when they met together, they asked, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom of heaven? And then Jesus ascends into heaven. And then in verse 14, they all joined together constantly in prayer. And I think For many of us, that's some of the things that we've had to do individually. One of the things that we do as a church collectively is the joining together in prayer. For example, when Dave led the prayer this morning, even though we weren't saying the words, how many of us were praying along with Dave in that prayer? We heard his words. We joined him in that prayer. We didn't say our own prayer. We joined Dave's prayer. We united in prayer. And Christians gathered together and they united in prayer. And if we've never really done this, I recommend it as being a beautiful thing, that when someone is praying, we join in that prayer. We're doing this together. Someone is saying the words, but we're going, yes, that's what amen means. Yes, yes, yes. And it's a beautiful description of how cultures can come together. They met together, they joined together constantly in prayer. And then in Acts chapter 2, at the day of Pentecost, in verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together. They united together. And then in Acts chapter 2, again, where Peter is telling the story at Pentecost about how Jesus was the Savior of the world and how he died and that one day he's going to be coming back, Peter does something very unique. And even though Pentecost was very much a Jewish celebration, there were also Gentiles who were very interested in the Jewish faith. And it wasn't just a group of Jewish believers who gathered at Pentecost, it was the Jewish culture who united at Pentecost. And on occasion, there would be Gentiles watching from a distance. And if they had a good friend who was a Jewish friend, they would join in together and they witnessed something profound and unique. Peter says, "Let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." And the people who heard this were cut to the heart and they asked, "Well, what should we do?" And Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." It's a statement of cleanliness, of freedom. And it says, this promise is for you, it's for your children, and it's for all the Gentiles. It says, for all those who are far off. Everyone is welcome to come to the kingdom of God. I don't know if you remember the movie that happens at Christmas time called Home Alone. And the young man has a neighbor, and he's fearful of this neighbor. And one day, as he's walking along, this young boy is walking along at Christmas time, he hears singing in the church. And he goes into the church, and he sits in the middle pew, and the singing is wonderful. And then this older man, who was his neighbor, comes and sits close to him. And the young boy is terrified. And the young man and the older man gently says to him, "You know, you don't have to be afraid of me. We can be friends." And within a very short time, they became not only friends, but became protective of one another. When Christians come together, it's not just individual worship. We come together and we reach out to one another. It is a congregational worship. As families sometimes struggle with difficulties, it's the whole family coming together as one to support one another. And with this pandemic, it's not an easy thing to do. In the first century, it wasn't an easy thing for Christians to come together. It was against the law in many areas. They weren't allowed to gather together. They were very nervous in doing so because they thought the authorities, and rightly so, were going to come and take them away, so they were very nervous. And so Christians did their best to come together. All throughout the scriptures, we talk about this. So let me just read to you a couple of passages that I think are unique in talking about congregations who come together, a congregation coming together as one. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says, now about spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant about these things. We all have different gifts. And verse 3 says, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Meaning that if we think we live this life simply by our own power and by our own might and by our own intellect, we are really going to disappoint ourselves. Because the promise of God is, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. And that the Holy Spirit lives in us, helping us, guiding us. And we know there are times in our life when we go through some very difficult times. And we know if it was not for the help of Jesus, if it was not for the help of God, if it was not for the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we would be most miserable. It's because of joining together with God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, and a congregation of people who will reach across to one another and help one another. And all of us have different talents, and we use that talent for the benefit of one another. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12, it says, the body is a unit, though it's made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So whether you like it or not, you are part of me. Sorry to tell you that. But I'm also part of you. And worldwide, we're part of this family of God. Some scriptures that talk about the coming together, I noticed in scripture, how many times do you think the word together is used in scripture, talking about people coming together? Almost 500 times. 484 times, if I have it correctly. People gather together, they pray together, they sang together, they congregated together, coming together, they stood together, they walked together, they talked together, they built together, they planted together. And Paul says in Ephesians 4 that from Christ, this whole church, this whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each person, as each part does its work. Maybe what we're experiencing right now with this pandemic and our church coming together, that this is the first time this has ever happened since the churches of Christ gathered together in Beamsville. I may not have my history quite correct, but as I understand, there was a meeting house down by Lake Ontario back in the 1800s that where Christians met. And then eventually they made their way up to the church that many of us remember attending on, was it Queen Street? Is that the street? I can never remember the street where that beautiful church building is with the beautiful stained glass windows and so forth. And then here we are today, and who knows what the future holds. But we are part of history. And they are part of us. And one day down the road, when we're long gone, we're still going to be part of that future. We belong to them, past, present, future. So when Jew and Gentile came together as one, in Acts chapter 15 is the story of the Jews demanding certain things and the Gentiles demanding certain things. It was the eloquence of James, the eloquence of Peter, who quieted the hearts of Christians and said, can we not agree to be a family of God with our uniquenesses and challenges? Is it possible that we can come together as one? And look at now, 2,000 years later, we are gathering together as one. God bless you for your courage for being here today. I pray for your health. I pray for God's Holy Spirit's guidance in our lives. We pray that we might be used in such a way that can help others who are suffering too. Thank you.
Good morning. It's nice to see most of you. Right? There's a well-known song lyric, "You don't know what you've got until it's gone." Now, if we can reflect on that, I know most of us have in the last 4 months. Well, you know, this is certainly true of our pandemic that we're in. COVID-19 has caused us to think about how much we've taken certain aspects of our life for granted. The ability to get together with friends or family, the ability to go out for dinner, that is if restaurants were open, or movie theaters, or a ball game. Of course, none of these things are available to us until phase 3, perhaps. Well, we even find ourselves doing a benefit-cost analysis before we go to the grocery store. And we stockpile goods for several weeks. Remember toilet paper? The reality is that, you know, our freedom to some degree has been restricted, not only for our good, but for the common good. In fact, we're wearing masks here today for that common good. Well, our son Bradley and his wife Christina had their first child, a baby girl, Michaela, born March 22nd in the middle of this pandemic. We visited their house when they returned from the hospital and visited Michaela, saw her through the front window of their house for 3 months. Maybe when the weather was bad, open the garage door, they would come out, stand in the garage, and we'd stand in the garage and see her from a distance. Perhaps this rings true with some of you here today. Our other grandchildren, same thing, through the front window. Well, 1 month ago today, right? June the 12th, our premier announced that we could expand to a 10-person bubble. A 10-person bubble. It was like Christmas, right? The truth is that we could, and our son and daughter-in-law said, "You're coming tomorrow for dinner. Celebration. And you're going to hold Michaela. Celebration. And we're going to eat together. Celebration." And the next day, that was pretty sweet, by the way. But the next day, it was our daughter, Andrea, son-in-law, Roy, and they said, "You're coming for a barbecue. Food. Celebration. Hug those grandchildren." And Libby, the youngest, 2.5 years old, when we reached out for her, she looks at her mother as if to say, "Is this okay, Mom? Is it okay?" Because she's been told it isn't okay, right? So perhaps that resonates with you this morning in terms of your experience and to be able to reach out to those that you love and to give them a hug for the first time in several months. You know, our church family has been separated now for 4 months as well. So as Don said, this is an experiment. Thank you for coming. We didn't know how it was going to turn out. A lot of thought went into this behind the scenes for several people. We especially acknowledge Adam for all his work in helping us to get things organized technically and video-wise and everything else. So we do acknowledge his extra work that he's done for us. So the idea of getting together and suddenly having this communion, what would that look like? A virtual communion on a screen where people are the bread and the wine and somehow that just didn't resonate with us. It bugged me. It wasn't right. And then the solution, right? And we were able to find a supplier in Vaughan, And Don had mentioned that Sunridge was using the same. They've been open for a few more weeks than us. And so we're able to secure these peel and eat, peel and sip cups all in one. Which, by the way, when we're finished today, there are garbage containers on the way out. If you could just drop yours, take it with you, that would be appreciated. So, you know, it's good to be together. It's good to participate in a tangible way. When Jesus got together with his disciples for the Passover celebrations, he used these simple elements of bread and wine to give them new meaning. Instead of the unleavened bread, it reminded the Jews of their hasty escape from Egypt. You know, the fact that this would now represent his broken body on the cross. Instead of the wine representing God's protection from the last plague inflicted on Egypt, the death angels had passed over, smiting the firstborn. The reality was that the lamb's blood painted over the doorframe of the Israelites would allow that death angel to pass over that house. They would not be afflicted with the pain of losing the child. God, however, did not spare his own son. And his spilled blood cleanses us from our sins and gives us eternal hope. In the well-known passage where Jesus instituted the supper, 1 Corinthians 11:26 says, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Well, for some of us, this might be the first time in 4 months. For some of us, you might have participated on your own or with a close family member, or perhaps you were encouraged to do so in our virtual, in our online service where someone was presiding and you may have taken those elements and participated at that time. But whenever you eat, whether it was last week or 4 months ago, right now we are eating. And what are we doing? We're proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. So, in this moment, we're proclaiming to each other and to the world that Jesus was crucified and died for each of us, that he was buried in a tomb, that he rose victorious and ascended back to his Father in heaven, and that even as we're speaking, even as we're participating, he is preparing a place for us to spend eternity with him. Today, by participating in this supper, we proclaim our belief in God's plan for mankind and his love that prompted it. And we proclaim to each other our common hope for an eternity with him. Let's pray for the bread. Our Father, we thank you for the love that prompted you to send Jesus into this world. We thank you for his focus, his ability to live amongst mankind, to show us a better way, to point us towards you, and to remain steadfast until the end on the cross as he suffered and died for us. We now partake of this loaf, and it represents to us his broken body on that cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Our Father, we thank you for Christ's spilled blood on the cross. We thank you for its cleansing power in our lives today. Father, we thank you that that's not where his life ended, but that he was raised from the dead, and that he lives with you and is preparing a place for us. We thank you for your great love in putting this plan into motion. We thank you for our place in history. We pray that you will help us to focus on the love and the goodness of him in our lives as we live it and extend that love to others this week. Thank you for this cup now, in Jesus' name.
Thanks for joining us this morning. It's been good to see this, you know, parts of you. We really are hopeful that we can continue to provide a meaningful service here, even in the restrictions that we have. Let's go to God in prayer now. Lord, it has been good to get together this morning. Thank you for giving us the ability to meet together. Thank you for the courage of everyone who is able to come. Thank you for those who are not able to join us. Thank you that they are praying for us, that they are supporting from afar. God, we are aware that there are many around the world who are suffering, really, really suffering right now. We're thinking of the church in Nuzvid, India, who have reached out and asked for prayers. We ask that you heal that community and give support to those who are there. As we go into our week, God, please put your hand on us, guide and protect us, and please bring us back together in person, online, or in heaven. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.